Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Whiny Writers. I am Abby, and I'm here with my co-host,
Harry.
And today, it's been a really long time since we did a reading wrap-up or any sort of discussion of what we've read lately, what we are reading, what we're intending to read, just books and reading and
which is really bad for writers.
Yeah. I think we've only ever done, what, two of these, maybe? And we're 20 episodes
maximum
in.
Maximum two.
Yeah.
I think it's kind of how we started the whole thing.
Yeah.
And when we came back from the break, we spoke about what we were reading.
Briefly. Yeah. So that's what this episode is. We're going to talk about what we've read, what we're going to read, how we feel about the books we read briefly. Like, almost like really quick reviews.
Really quick. Like, yay or nay.
Yeah, we're not quite that quick. I think we'll discuss a little bit.
Imagine, yay or nay, it's like a 10-minute episode.
Get fucking comfortable.
It's like a filler.
Yeah.
You're really far in. I think it's because you're hitting the side of the table. Shuffle. Slide to the left.
One day we'll have better chairs. One day.
Boucle surface.
One can only dream. Alrighty. Okay, I'm going to start with you, Harry. I'm just going to throw you right on the bus. What did you read lately?
I've read two books while we're away.
Okay.
Well, not while we're away.
Since we last discussed it. Yeah. I don't even know how long it's been. Maybe a month, couple months?
At least 2 months, I reckon.
Yeah. I will admit, I also did not read as many as I normally do. I'm not reading like three books a week.
I didn't read as crazy because I was doing a lot of writing.
Yeah, writing and that sort of stuff.
You don't have time for reading when you're writing because all you want to do is not look at fucking words.
Yeah, exactly.
When you're writing
the book,
so it's fucking exhausting. Mm. The first book that I read was What If It's Us by Adam Silvera and Becky Albertelli.
We won't get too much into that one.
Because it is, which we will reveal, it is going to be...
We revealed it a couple episodes ago.
Oh, we did? Yeah. But it's going to be our next book club.
It is our next book club.
Yeah. We're both going to read that one. It's not exactly a romance.
No, which was a really interesting discussion.
Yeah, it will be a really good discussion. Yeah. But I overall really liked the book.
Yeah.
I thought it was really good. I think that both of their writing styles work really well. And I'm very excited for our book club because I think it's a little bit it's a little bit different.
That's good. Yeah.
Very different from Bride.
Different than Werewolf Porn.
Yeah, very different to Notting.
I actually had a friend I was speaking to recently and he was like, what are you reading at the moment? Have you read anything other than Werewolf Porn? And I was like, well, first of all, I'm very glad that you're keeping up with my podcast. Thank you kindly. but also, I wouldn't classify it as werewolf porn. It just had sex in it.
So I was with my partner's family over the weekend and his mum and his sister really love paranormal romance.
And they really
like smutty paranormal romance.
You were like, boy, do I have the book for you.
And I was like, listen, ladies, gather around. This one is a cracker.
Yeah.
Like, you like werewolf porn?
You're going to like this one.
Yeah. And I was like, has vampires in there? And they were like, vampires as well? And I was like, vampires fucking werewolves.
They were just amazed.
Yeah. And I nearly offered the book, but I think I might just buy it for them on Kindle or something so they can read it on their phones. Because I was like, I liked the book.
I liked the book enough to keep it your own.
And stamp it with my little, my library press.
Absolutely. Yeah. I love my library. I use my library press. Once I finish a book,
it's only for finishing, yes.
Absolutely.
I remember on one of the episodes that we were talking about, when I said that I'd gotten one and we were talking about how both of them, well, first you had to explain how they worked because I had no idea how they worked. And then I got one.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, I'm going to go and stamp my entire library.
Yeah.
After that episode, I did not. And I've decided to stamp after finishing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's like, this is way off topic already, but whatever. I just downloaded an app where you digitally log your wardrobe. And so you take photos of each individual piece of clothing you have and it logs it all on this app. And you can go into the app and you can pair outfits and create outfits. And there are a couple of apps that do it where you randomize it and it gives you, suggests outfits for you. And I loved the idea of it because I chronically take shook. I love the idea of it.
I need this.
Yeah. Let me find what it's called. But I chronically take hours to get ready in the morning. I am scrolling Pinterest. I don't like repeating outfits, which is so stupid. I should just repeat outfits. Nobody cares what I'm wearing. But
no, I understand what you mean though. Because you're just like, no, I want to feel good.
Yeah. So this app is called Wearing, spelt Wehring, Wearing.
Interesting.
And the reason I brought this up is because you said that you don't like you couldn't catalog all your books at once. There's too many of them. So I've been doing the same thing with the app, is whenever I put on a new outfit, I just take photos of the clothes I'm wearing that day, and slowly I'll be able to.
Do you take them like when they're on the, like a picture of it when it's on the coat hanger?
You like lie it out on something, like on your bed or anything, and you take a photo of it, and it automatically removes the background for you.
And so cuts out the.
Yeah. So it cuts out just the piece of clothing, and you can do accessories. You can do everything. It's amazing. And I really like the idea of it because I think you can catalog like how often you wear an item as well. Yeah. And so then I can be like, well, I haven't worn this item in 6 months, so I will I'll donate it. And then I can see what's missing from my wardrobe. Like I have so many pants and only so many tops. I love it. I love the idea of it.
I am going to get this because I am always looking at what outfits I'm wearing and I go, fuck, I've worn this like combo so much. I put a combo out and I go, oh, I've worn that before.
Yeah.
Or sometimes I look at a pair of pants
which
and I go,
which is fine.
This is such, yeah, totally fine. Or I'm like, I pick out a pair of pants and then I go, oh, this color is the only color that looks good with it. But then I'll try a different color and I go, whoa, this looks great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love the idea of being able to lie in my bed at night on my phone and make my outfit on my phone so that when I get up in the morning, it's done.
Does it genuinely work?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, did this come from wearing this outfit?
No, this outfit did not.
This is a really nice outfit.
Oh, thank you. I just wanted to be comfortable today because we're filming. So and it's a bit cold. We're finally getting into some cold weather.
Yeah, hence why I went like full, like, yeah, just relaxation mode.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So I haven't cataloged a lot of clothes in it yet, so I haven't really used it to its full potential. But I will update you once I have.
I'm excited. I do
really like it.
Yeah. Mm. This is cool.
Yeah.
I like this idea. Just before we started recording, I was going through all the books that I'd been reading, going, have I read this one? Oh, I don't know if I've read that one.
Yeah,
what was that one
cataloging
called?
Books.
Because I'm so bad at it. And I think that Storygraph idea that you spoke about in a couple episodes ago is genuinely something I'm going to have to do.
I am addicted to Storygraph.
It just drives me nuts. I can't remember.
Yeah, I just really like documenting what I have read. And I've never been one to be able to create my own, like, you know, like type A people and they have their own Google Drives or Excel spreadsheets.
Yeah.
And they're the most insanely complicated Excel spreadsheet you've ever seen. And it's got the rating and it's got the character. It's got like everything in it. I do not have the time nor patience to do that.
Neither do I.
App, Storygraph, means that I can document what I'm reading, what page that I'm up to, because I often don't use bookmarks.
That is insane.
Yeah. I just close the book and walk away. Oh.
Love dog earring. Mm.
You like it because other people hate it.
Yeah,
you're like, I like against the
edgy
status quo.
Yeah,
I dog ear books. Cool. Yeah,
but also it looks loved.
Oh,
you can tell when I've loved.
That's a nice way to think about it.
You're like wrong.
Yeah,
it's been disrespected.
Yeah, its boundaries haven't been respected. but sure, yeah.
Yeah, if that's what you want to fucking call it. No fucking worries. From a man.
Been loved, I guess. No, so yeah, that's, I do like Storygraph for that, and I think you should get on Storygraph.
I did download it.
And I was just telling you, I started a buddy read with a friend on there, and
that sounds great.
Yeah,
as well.
You create comments as you go through the book, and it blocks them for the other person if they're not up to that, so they have to read to that page to see what you said about it.
The only problem is that I feel like I'm gonna forget to track things in the app. Like every single day, I have to go into my app for vitamins, and I have to say that I've taken my vitamins today. Yeah. The best score I've got is 37 days in a row of going into the app. And then after that, I've never touched it again.
This is TMI for both you and our listeners. But
I know where this is going.
Do you? Where do you think it's going?
Are we talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Periods. You can say periods. It's fine.
Well, yeah. I wanted to be like, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Just
in case
I was
wrong.
I was comfortable with it. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. No. Yeah. I use Clue to track my period, and I am also very bad at documenting every day whether I have had it or not. And so my Clue's like, you have a period for one day only. And I'm like, sure.
And you're like,
but as long as you tell me when that one day starts it's
we're
okay.
Good.
We're all good.
But you have to track every single day for it to be accurate?
No, you don't need to, but normally you would track like every single day that you have your period for.
Yeah, okay.
So that it's like you average a 4 to 5 day
period
and this is the period, this is when you, period of time, this is when you will get your period and et cetera. You can track the whole, like it tracks the most crazy stuff. Like, did you drink?
Wow.
Like, you know, how much exercise did you do? What was your stool like? Everything.
And I want Storygraph to be monitoring
your book,
me reading.
Yeah.
And then go and scan and go, he's on page 288 and load it in automatically. Yeah. Don't make me do any manual work.
If you guys are really interested as well, you can friend people on and follow people on Storygraph. So our listeners can follow me and see what I'm reading in real time.
That'll be fun.
Yeah. So it's just Abby Guy. You're most welcome to look me up.
Once I get mine, I'll set mine up as well. Because that'd be a bit fun. People can look at, maybe they'll get a little bit of a taste about
our reading what's coming up. And how much I lie about how quick I read books. But what are you currently reading?
It is Seducing My Brother-in-Law by Shay Michaels.
Okay. Is it good?
I'm about, I want to say, a quarter of the way in.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all right.
Yeah.
It's a Kindle read.
Okay, yeah.
Is how I put it.
Which
I'm not.
Nothing against Kindle reads whatsoever. Is it an indie published book or is it trad?
I believe so. Mm. And what I didn't realize until, which is really funny, I've kept reading, was, you know, like on Kindle when it starts, I'm always like straight to the first chapter.
Like, I'm like,
I don't really need
else.
To see the copyright stuff and all these things.
Yeah.
So I flipped past it. And on Monday afternoon, I was like, oh, I'm going to have a little bit of a look. I'm just having a look. It is, yes, it is. It is self-published.
Right.
Oh, the cover art is done on Canva using stock images.
Yeah, right.
And this is the cover.
Oh, okay. It's very nice.
That's quite a good cover for a Canva.
Yeah.
I should be looking at Canva for things like that.
Yeah,
that's cool.
That's cool.
Anyway, yeah, so I was getting a bit confused about the antagonist and what seems like inside jokes almost in the book.
Oh, okay.
About presumed knowledge.
Is it from a series?
It's book four. Oh.
So you're four books deep into a series and you didn't know.
And the funny part was, because it was like Monday afternoon, right? A whole weekend of family and I, you know, like we'd been drinking rather consistently. Nothing too insane, but I was just exhausted from a lot of social interaction, right? Yeah. So I was going, why can I just not get what the fuck is going on between the two characters called Kira and her partner? Oh, I can't remember. I can't remember what his name is. Sawyer and T.I.
Yeah.
Right? So I was like, okay, what the hell's going on here? And I just don't get it. And so then when I went back, and it is literally like the second page, it's like Seducing My Brother-in-Law. And then it goes Pine Ridge. Book four.
Yeah.
And I was like, right, okay.
Some books you can get away with that. Like, you don't really need to read them in order.
Yeah.
Especially, like, if the character, like, I found, I think it's The American Roommate Experiment or whatever it is.
Yes.
Like, in the same universe as two of the other characters in it. They have their own book
well.
But you don't really need, you don't need to read that book to understand because it's not focused on those characters.
Yeah.
But yeah.
This is a,
this one obviously has inside jokes.
It seems
that are confusing.
It seems that the two characters, TJ and Sawyer, because it's gay romance.
Okay.
The two characters have been introduced in the other three books and now they're finally getting together.
Yeah.
So things felt like a lot more of a bigger deal.
You've like missed the beginning
the
of their relationship.
Of how they worked.
Yeah.
Because it was just like, there's a line where he goes, I've got to start marking them in Kindle as well because I know that it's really easy as I'm writing, as I'm reading, just to highlight.
And
mark. And then you can go into.
Absolutely.
You know, so I was like, there was a line at the end of, I want to say like the third chapter, where it was like, to think about where we started, how much we hated each other, how difficult he was to be around, and now I think I'm in love.
And you're like, I didn't get the hating bit. Yeah, you guys have always loved each other.
I was like, you guys seem pretty cozy. Like, this is bizarre.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
So anyway.
That's an interesting author decision, I think. I think it really relies on the like the following that indie authors get, where people are actively reading every single book they put out and they really, really want the next in the series so they already know everything that's happened.
Yeah, and
whereas
they want
you,
those characters.
Who's just a stray reader, who's picked up this book and you're like, wow. Because normally, as I said, you can pick up a book in the middle of a series, unless it's like high fantasy or whatever.
And
like
kind of know whatever
one.
The fuck is going on.
Yeah.
Especially where you can usually
like, I think you can pick up Wildfire without having read Icebreaker.
Icebreaker and know.
And
Yeah. Exactly. But yeah, this felt like a little bit of more like a contemporary romance version of A Court of Thorns and Roses. If I just picked up Mist and Fury.
Oh, okay. Like, yeah. And you missed the like.
Yes.
Like someone picking up Mist and Fury and being like, wow, I don't understand. Yeah. They're at a wedding.
Starts with a wedding whisked away.
What? Like, why does she hate this?
Who is this man?
Yeah.
So yeah, this is it. But it's good. So far, the book's all right. It's it's very Kindle Unlimited, very indie published. But I don't hate the characters. The writing style is very simple, but it's effective.
Yeah.
So that's my current read at the moment.
Nice.
The other book, because I know that we're going to get to one that we've both read finished it and we mentioned it in another episode. Yeah. So what have you been reading? And then we can get to that one.
What am I reading right now?
Yeah, what are you reading at the moment?
Oh, okay. I'm actually reading fan fiction right now. I'm kind of reading across a couple different things, which I don't normally do. I like to sit in the one thing and read that and then move on to the next. I find it really hard to swap between stories. But I'm supposed to be reading A Court of Thorns and Roses again, not of my own free will, but because I'm studying it. And so I'm buddy reading that with another friend who's also studying it. And we're kind of exchanging notes. So I should be reading that. But instead I picked up fan fiction. And so now I am like 90K deep into...
Whoa.
I didn't even realize. This is the thing about fan fiction. I was reading this fan fiction maybe for a day. And then you get to the author's note at the bottom and the author is like, man, I can't believe we're 90Ks into this. And I'm like, I can't believe we're 90Ks into this.
Like, have I seen the sun today?
What happened? But yeah, I am very much elbows deep into a Destiel fanfic, a supernatural Dean and Cass.
Oh, Destiel. Okay, yeah.
Fanfic. It's like, very good.
Interesting.
It is written so insanely well.
Wow.
Like,
Better than Manacled?
It depends on like your style, they're very different styles of writing.
Yeah.
Manacled is very like in-depth, detailed, very heavy on the emotion. This, I feel it like moves in time really quickly, but like it's been 3 years, but.
Whoa.
I know, but it's,
but 3 years in 90K.
Yeah. I'm on chapter 36. It's amazing. It's
how
so good.
Big are these chapters?
Couldn't tell you. I don't know. There is something in fan fiction when you're reading. I don't know if it's the constant scroll rather than page turning. I don't know.
I do wish that Kindle was a scroll rather than a turn.
I wonder if you could change that. Is there a setting that allows you to scroll then turn? Because I would get through books so quick.
If I could scroll.
Yeah.
I find that that's how my brain works better.
Yeah.
Going down. We're used to that. This looked like I was just sassing you just then.
It did.
Really I was,
But no, I'm reading Heard From Your Mother and then in brackets, She Don't Recognize You, which I don't get the reference, but I'm assuming it's a lyric that they've named.
Sounds like a song.
Yeah, yeah. That they've named it after. And it's by Rupert Gaze, I think. And it is a supernatural fan fiction, as I said. And it's about if, because spoilers, very huge spoilers, Castiel dies at the end of Supernatural.
Yes.
And so it's if Castiel was made alive again. But
Resurrected,
but he's put into pre-season Supernatural and season one. So they resurrect him and send him back in time.
Oh, right, okay.
And it's kind of like, because you don't meet Castiel until the third season of Supernatural.
Yeah, he's one of the angels.
He's like the main angel. Their buddy. Buddy, quotation marks.
Buddy, yeah. well, and this he is.
Yeah, but...
buddy...
Yeah, they send him back in time and it's pretty much him being able to be there other than just third season. And so their relationship builds better and that sort of stuff. It's really good. I don't even know how to describe it, but if you're into fan fiction, I highly recommend it.
Like it is in the supernatural universe?
It is. Yeah. It's not alternate universe or anything. Okay. It's full fan fiction. Cool. It's all the same characters. It's in the universe.
Yeah.
It takes a while. It takes like 20, 30 chapters before it even gets to the first season of Supernatural. It does a lot of Dean and Cass pre-season. And then it goes into the first season. And so once you hit the first season, I'm like, oh, I remember all of these episodes.
This would be really fun to write if you're a huge Supernatural fan.
And really fun to read as a Supernatural fan as well. The whole fan fiction is 240,000 words.
Whoa.
So,
I saw this competition the other day on this app called Dream, which is like a online reading app, right? Yeah. I think it's a bit dodgy from what I have
seen. I was going to say, I've never heard of it, so.
but it is very big in the US.
And I
think it's a bit of a scam. I'm not sure. Anyway, they sent an email out because I had just looked at the website because somebody I know uses it.
You glanced at it and they were like, hello.
Yeah. They
welcome.
They were like, time to get some info.
Yeah.
And they sent a thing out with a competition going $60,000 for the first prize winner, right? Yeah. Now, they had 2,500 applicants last year for this competition, right?
Okay, which isn't a lot.
Not a lot.
Yeah.
And it was like 60,000. Second prize, 25,000. Wow. Third prize, 10,000.
That's the money that they're giving.
That's the money
you
that they're offering. Ooh, and this I'm does pretty sound sure skinny. It's in USD, right?
That's wild.
Now, they had the competition winners on their thing, and you can read their full work. It's
all, you know, up like there.
It's all up there.
Interesting.
But in the small print, the minimum that you have to write to put it in was 250,000 words. And if you, once you submit it, they own the IP of the work, win or lose. So
oh
I was
my
like,
God.
I was like, you're telling me that I could write a 250,000 word story, right?
Yeah.
And I might not even fucking win the competition.
Can you imagine, right? I feel like that's for fan fiction authors who already have a 250,000 word story sitting in the bank.
I was like, this is the type of stuff where where you would go control F and find every mention of Dean Winchester in that fucking book. And you go, let's
so
call him Bradley
Smith.
Yeah. Yeah. And Seattle, let's change to New York, you know? And
yeah,
like you just
right.
remove all anything related to the world that you're in,
mm.
Like, you know, what it's based on, change a couple of names and submit that in to go and get it.
That's
but
crazy.
I was like, I just don't believe that this is a genuine competition.
Yeah.
I think they want you submitting 250,000 words so that they can keep this fucking website alive and people pay $8.50 a week to keep doing it. So Dream, with an E on the end, if this is legit, please contact me.
Yeah.
I'm interested. I'll start writing a 250K word story right now.
Yeah, only if I'm going to win the money, though, because I'm not.
Yeah, because I'm not going through all
that. Imagine
how
long
does
it take them before the prizes come out? Because someone has to read 2,500 stories at 250,000 words.
I think, based on the website, it was September to September. The competition
was open. It just doesn't sound real. I've never heard of it. And it's got such huge prize money.
$60,000?
Yeah, that's... Doesn't sound...
That does not sound legit.
No.
There is genuine work on there and you can read for free and you earn tokens if you read fast enough and things like that. But I was like,
No.
Sorry. When you just said 240K, I was like...
It reminded you of
it
that.
It reminded me of this.
Yeah.
But I was like, okay, if this is a short story competition that has 3,000 words, 4,000 words, 5,000 words.
Yeah.
One, $60,000 for that, that's not right. You know, the least they offer for most of them is like... $500 to $1,500.
Yeah.
Some of them are bigger.
Wow.
But I forgot to put a story in for the Hope Prize as well. You know that story I wrote and
edited? Oh, yeah, you didn't put it in.
Just didn't submit it.
That's fine.
Fucking annoying.
use it for something else.
I remembered as well the day after. I went,
like,
shit. Done it again, Harry. But that reminded me. I think these things are for fan fiction people because that's an enormous amount to write.
Yeah.
And if you're saying it's written really well, that's insane.
It's written so well. That's why I think I've chewed through it. It's just, I don't know.
So you're not even at the halfway point.
No.
Or you are now.
No, I'm at chapter 36 of 50 chapters. So
that is crazy.
Yeah, it is crazy. And I will devour it even further.
Yeah.
Like, to put it into perspective, I also read since previously the first Crescent City book by
I remember
Sarah
you talking
Dimas.
About this.
Again, because I need to study it, not of my own free will. And that is an 800-page book.
Holy shit.
Like, that is, and it took me a solid week to get through it. But this fan fiction... Give me a few days.
It
it's
took
done.
You a week to get through an 800-page book. That would take me 3 weeks.
Yeah, but I was reading 100 pages a day.
That's fucking insane. So technically
100
8
pages
days
a day.
Then?
Yeah. Okay. Sorry. Correct me.
Sorry. 7 8 days,
days
in a week. Monday to
Let
Tuesday,
me buy some
Tuesday,
new
Wednesday,
shoes. I'll stand corrected.
That was good. That's come from your dad.
My brother.
No,
me,
there
yes.
you go. Yeah, I was like.
Cannot claim it.
Yeah. I was like, that sounds awfully,
Yeah, I actually think he says, sorry, I'll go to the orthodontist so I can stand corrected.
Oh, my God.
Not the orthodontist.
Or the orthodontist so that I can stand corrected. The podiatrist.
The podiatrist so I can stand corrected.
The dentist. I nodded as well. I went.
You went, okay.
Orthodontist.
Yeah, if you're orthodontist is doing stuff with your feet, I think you should find a lawyer.
I think maybe watch where he's putting that happy gas.
All right.
What else? That was perfectly on time as well.
Oh, God.
I wanted to ask, are you enjoying A Court of Thorns and Roses now a little bit more that you're studying it, or are you enjoying it less?
Well, I'm not reading for the mood, right? And so I'm enjoying it less, and which is hard because I enjoyed it so little the first time. So imagine that.
Sorry, Sarah J. Maas.
No, no, I'm look, I'm really not a hater of it. We talk about it enough that you can tell I like it. We like it to a certain extent.
Yeah, 100%.
But now that I'm looking at it at a craft level, I can see what she's doing. And I can also see what everything I've read after ACOTAR is trying to do.
That's it. That's what I wanted to see. If they're like, do you appreciate what she did for
the
genre a little bit more?
I do. Yeah. Because the first, I'm only like 3 or 4 chapters back into it. First of all, the first time you meet Tamlin, he's this giant lion
bear
thing. And he's speaking, which I just have this animal speaking to me.
I know you don't like it. I love it.
I hate it.
What about Aslan and Narnia? Would you just laugh if a lion opened its mouth and was like, "Abo"?
Yeah, I would lose my shit. That'd be day made.
I find
it funny.
Terrifying. I think it's really scary.
I think it's really, maybe it's because it's Uncanny Valley for me. It's really disconcerting that this animal is speaking.
I think the beaver's
but
talking
when
is
he's,
funny.
When, yeah. I don't have a problem with Narnia. But when he's speaking in this, I forgot they had beast form, so I was very shook. I was like, oh, this is Tamlin. This is him in the flesh. But yeah, I don't know. When he speaks, he's always growled or snarled, and there's something about the fact that she's going to fuck a lion later that really,
and fuck
really,
a lion.
I couldn't.
I remember the opening chapter being really good with the wolf in the forest.
That was creepy. I actually think this sounds, I don't know what this says about the books I've read since, but I actually think the writing is better than I remember it being.
That's interesting because that's almost why I've considered going back to it.
Yeah.
Since reading what came after.
Yeah.
It.
Yeah.
Like, did I judge her too harshly?
Yeah. This is a book. We call ourselves whiny writers, so I can whine.
Yeah.
I also read Powerless recently by Lauren Roberts, which is a YA fantasy based on Red Queen and Hunger Games, which I've spoken to you about, and I think I mentioned it in the previous episode.
Yeah. Yeah.
Didn't enjoy it.
Yeah.
Everybody is frothing it. Like, they love it on TikTok.
Interesting.
They really, really love it. And I'm now reading ACOTAR after it, and I'm like, wow, Sarah J. Maas's writing isn't bad. It's pretty good.
Well, yeah, see.
I have a better appreciation.
How would you compare
style.
It to Fourth Wing as well? Because does she have a better writing style than Fourth Wing?
I would say
Wing?
It's better than Fourth Wing, yeah.
Interesting, because that's probably the only thing that is in direct competition to the sheer success.
Yeah,
and even then,
Fourth
she's fucking miles off
the success
of Maas.
Yeah. Oh, exactly. I really think that I underappreciated Maas until I read, so I really want to find stuff that's better than Maas, because what am I reading? Fair. What am I reading that it's worse than ACOTAR?
ACOTAR, yeah.
As I said, maybe ACOTAR is just better
Take
than I thought it
deep,
was.
Deep, hard look at yourself.
Yeah, what are you doing?
So I'm looking at the...
okay, you give us your next book.
Or I'll give us Divine Rivals.
Oh, okay, yes. I previously mentioned this, maybe very briefly, but not in a reading wrap-up, so we can get more into it now.
Yeah, by Rebecca Ross, and I think I mentioned a couple episodes ago how I was about halfway through the book, or just below halfway.
Yeah, when we spoke about romance.
Yeah. And I was saying that I really liked it.
Yeah.
Like, I thought that it was really, really good.
Yeah.
And now that I finished it, I think the second half was the second... quarter, maybe.
Mm.
I wouldn't go as far as the third because I was still very interested until the final part. Mm. And I was a bit disappointed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What part of it made you disappointed? Because I know mine, so I can tell you that.
I felt that the parts with Forrest and her brother in the end were huge fucking letdowns.
Yeah.
Letdowns.
So what I found is Divine Rivals... I really, really, it's like a fantasy romantasy, right?
Yeah.
And the bit that Rebecca Ross sets up in the beginning where they are rival journalists journaling the war and they work for the same place and et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
That the dynamic between them there, between the protagonists, is so good, and the exchanges of letters and kind of that sort of stuff. And then she sends them to war. She sends them to the front.
She sends them to the front lines.
Sends them to the front lines. And I felt like it lost that atmosphere that I was loving originally.
Yeah, it did, because just before they go to war, I think it is, they reveal that I might be wrong with this. I really fucking hope I'm not. Because now that I'm reading that Seducing My Brother-in-Law, I'm back in that like LGBTQI+ contemporary vibe. But I think it's just before they go to war. that he reveals what his last name, his middle name is. You know, well, Kit does, pretending not to be Kit on the other side of the typewriter.
Oh, gosh, I can't remember.
Yeah. Anyway, he says that his middle name is Carver, and she starts falling in love with this guy called Carver.
Oh, yes, yeah. Absolutely, yeah.
And I think that was really good, and they should have stayed where they were. Especially because she starts to talk about how she thinks that the ministry is being like Zeb, I think his name is, the boss.
Yeah.
He's being told not to report on certain things about the war.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, okay, this sounds really, really interesting. And then, yes, you do see some of the things that they're not reporting on when they get to the war. But I agree that Iris becomes a less interesting character when she's on the front line. And I think it's because she didn't maybe think about how that would impact her.
Yeah, and I understand the choice to send them to the front lines, particularly when you read the second book, The Ruthless Vows, which I also read recently,
yeah.
And they start getting more into that war and we need to solve the war and overcome this and defeat the gods, etc. But yeah, that ending, like you said, when she's running through this town that's been destroyed in this war front, and I also think there could have been more, maybe it wasn't the book for it, but more critique on a war front and like the environment that they are existing and the impact that it is having on the people. It's very topical.
And how both sides are, you know, like nobody's really just in war.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
I feel like we kind of missed that.
Yeah, yeah, there wasn't a lot of political critique in the novel itself.
Which is fine. You don't have to have it.
Exactly. But it was quite a sensitive topic. And I feel like that could have been a larger portion of the conversation. But yeah. Maybe I just missed it.
But I also didn't get any
subtext.
So. I didn't really get any, like, because I can't quite, I don't think I really ever pronounced the god they were fighting for correctly.
Evanescence.
Not the band, Evanescence.
They're fighting really hard for Evanescence.
Yeah, real big fans. Yeah. And Duthi or Dutha, whatever the bad god's name was. Yeah. It just kind of felt like that was always bad and that they were on the right side and things weren't being reported correctly about the bads. I don't know. It was a bit messy when they got to the front line.
When you get to that ending, it's difficult to follow, and then she runs away with Forrest, and then
Forrest grabs her and she thinks it's Kit.
She thinks it's Kit. Is his name Kit?
I think his name's Kit.
No, it's not.
It's not?
No, it's not.
Oh my god, is it not Kit? Have I been saying it's Kit? No, I think it is Kit. Don't they just call him Carver in the book though? Because he's
Name's not Kit, Harry. Am I wrong? Why does it list everyone but them?
Yeah. Oh my god, Roman. It's Roman.
Oh, his surname is Kit.
Oh, there
so
we go.
So she calls him Kit. Yeah.
Roman's his name.
Roman Carver.
Oh my
Roman
god. Jesus Christ.
Does that mean his name Roman Carver Kit?
Yeah.
That's a little terrible.
Roman
Carver Kit.
He sounds like a radio
operator.
Roman Carver Kit.
Interesting. Interesting choice. Anyway. I found the ending of that quite poor. And then you go into the second one and he's really put on the sidelines, which was, I didn't
want to read the second one afterwards. I thought it was an unnecessary setup for a second book.
Yeah, that's what it was. If it had been a single standalone fantasy, it would have.
And I understand the need of like pushing away Forrest as in the horrors of the war and everything that's going on, and her mum's dead as well, which I kind of missed.
Didn't register it. That's like my favourite part in the novel. I actually genuinely, this sounds really bad, but I don't feel emotions very often. No, when reading,
Let's make a reel out of that one. Just that snippet.
I don't feel emotions very often.
Yeah.
No.
I'm empty inside.
When I'm reading, I'm not a huge empath. And so when I'm reading, I don't typically get emotional, right?
Yeah.
But I actually found when she loses her mum, quite an emotional moment for her. I really liked the way. That's why the start of the novel. So she's actually at her job and she reads it in the paper that her mum's been away overnight. And she reads in the paper that a woman was, hit by a tram.
Yeah, and found.
And she just instinctually got, knows that that's her mum. And I found that a really good scene, actually.
I should go and reread that bit. Yeah. Because then when they're on the front line in the thing and he confesses to knowing that her mum was dead.
Yeah.
And
you're like, wow, I didn't even know that.
I was like, oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, you know. Mm. I thought the worst half was really, really. The first half was great and the second half felt a bit rushed. Yeah. And I was just a bit disappointed. But would I recommend the book? Yes, I would recommend the book.
Yeah, I'm real
because
bad.
I thought that the world building was really good and I thought that the characters were very convincing. I just thought that there were some things that could have been done a lot better towards the end.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I wasn't really thrilled to be going up and picking up the next book, and I probably won't read Ruthless Vows.
Mm.
So unless I, you know, like somebody else is reading it with me or, you know, I stumble across it and it's $12 at Big W.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very specific. Yeah. Only if it's $12.
But that's what it'll $12.50 or $12.95
Unsure.
If you go there, it'll be $14, I bet.
Well, that's just disappointing. So, have you got anything that you want to read?
That I want to read? Oh, yeah. Can I mention one more that I read?
100%.
Okay. Just quickly.
Just quickly.
One more book. I read The Red Palace by Juna.
Yeah.
And it is a set in the... I can't pronounce this word. Joseon.
Yeah.
Period. Korea. Like ancient Korea, yeah. Pretty much. Set in that period where they have kings, etc. And she's a court nurse and he is a royal investigator to my
memory.
And they team up to solve a murder mystery. And it is very good.
Wow.
Very much recommend. Very simple, easy, quick read.
Yep.
But like,
so not a big book.
Not a big book. Very enjoyable. I think it's only like 300 pages. It's very good. Yeah.
Was it a good setting for it, you thought?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Loved it. That's all I needed to say about it because it's very good. I loved the costuming. I loved the weaponry. I loved the language used in it. It very much felt like I was watching a Joseon K-drama.
Wow. So was it a thriller or was it a romance in the end?
It's a romance. Yeah, it's definitely a romance.
Beautiful. What's it called? The Red Palace?
Red Palace.
Wow. That sounds interesting.
But that was good.
Yeah, cool. And so what are you going to
Okay,
read?
Yes. Okay, what's the question next? You asked me that I avoided. I haven't read Babel yet, and I really want to read Babel. I think I mentioned actually in our last one of these that I was going to read Babel next, and then I didn't.
Oh, liar.
I lied.
to the dungeon.
Pretty much. So I want to read a book that we're going to do for our book club, so I won't mention that.
Yes.
I'm
excited about that one as well.
I'm very excited. Oh, I want to read One Dark Window next by Rachel Gillig.
Okay.
That's also a romantasy.
One Dark Window.
Yeah, it's a duology. And to my knowledge, One Dark Window is a world that gets their powers from tarot cards, or not actual tarot cards, but something akin to tarot cards.
That's cool.
Yeah, like different tarot cards equal different powers. That's my knowledge of it. I'm going in knowing absolutely nothing, and I love that. So that's on my list. I don't know what else. I'd like to read Big Swiss. I don't read a lot of like literary fiction.
Yeah, I find literary really hard to get through.
Yeah, but I'd like to read Big Swiss and Beartown? Yeah. I've heard good things about Beartown and I am struggling to find books that I'm like actually enjoying. And I think it's because I'm so deep in TikTok that I'm reading TikTok books and I don't want to say that I'm a highbrow person, but I am not enjoying the quality of the work that TikTok promotes. Beartown is a book by Frederick Backman. And it's a novel about a small town. People say Beartown is Finnish, a tiny community nestled deep in the forest. It is slowly losing ground to the ever-encroaching trees. But down by the lake stands an old ice rink built generations ago by the working men who founded this town. And in that ice rink is the reason people in Beartown believe tomorrow will be better than today. The junior ice hockey team is about to compete in the national semifinals, and they actually have a shot at winning, etc. So it's kind of like a small town... I don't know.
It's Swedish as well.
Yeah.
So I know that setting is going to be fucking beautiful.
I know. It's the thing I like about it is that it's completely different to what I would read.
Yeah.
It's so out of my comfort zone. And so I want to give it a go. And I've heard really, really good reviews and about it. So I want to read that.
I really, really, really want to read is The Last Son by Katie Edwards.
Oh, that's not heard of that.
That is a gay, it's like an urban fantasy novel.
Ah, cool.
I liked the book cover because They looked good looking.
Ooh, yeah, I am a whore for a good book. See, I've called myself a whore a couple times this episode.
Yeah. Called yourself one last week as well.
Do you know what this looks like? The Last Sun book cover looks very supernatural.
It does, doesn't it?
Yeah. Because they looks like I'm looking at Sam and Dean.
Oh, I wouldn't be surprised if maybe it came from something like that.
That's really, I like it.
But it's the debut, it's this person's debut novel.
Yeah.
So I'm really interested to see how it goes. So the last member of a murdered house searches for a missing nobleman and uncovers clues about his own tortured past. His name is Rune St. John, and he's the last child of the fallen son.
Wow, so I was like it.
That sounds interesting.
The last son, and he is also the last son.
Yeah,
okay.
And it's book one in what's called the tarot sequence.
Right, so it must have something to do with tarot. It's something
tarot cards as well. So I'm really interested to read that one.
I'm reading a review very quickly on that book you just said, and it says, in a genre that so often celebrates a testosterone-laden brand of masculinity, Edward whittles down stereotypes. So very interesting.
There was an Instagram post that somebody sent up.
Yeah.
On I should find her book Instagram so I can give her a shout out.
Yeah.
But she had a bunch of there was a shelf at a bookstore that had a bunch of titles alongside there, and she went how good is it to have a gay romance section, and it was sapphic romances and male and male romances and non-binary romance and all that stuff like that. And there was some trans romance on there as well, and it was on the Saturday of the Easter weekend because that was International Trans Visibility Day, right? Yeah. So I saw that on their thing in the morning, and I was like, oh, that's really, really good. And that's where I saw this book.
Mm.
And I, on her thing, the first comment on it was from a person called Brody, and they said, this book was so freaking good. I have no fucking idea how they managed to make the gay romance seem so realistic. And I was like, add to the fucking list.
I want that. Okay.
Add to the fucking list. Yeah. I might be writing contemporary, but I was like, but I will read that book to see how they've broken down the stereotypes.
Mm.
Yeah. The other one I want to read is You're Something Blue by Eva Austin. That's just a normal heterosexual contemporary romance.
I love that. I think it will be really good. That's just one of those.
It's just one of them straight ones. Yeah. And then Once Upon a Broken by Stephanie Garber. Once Upon a Broken Heart.
Once Upon a Broken Heart.
Which you suggested to me after I said that I wanted to read the first book.
No, you said you wanted to read book, Ballad sorry. Of Never After, yeah. And I went, you mean no. You should put... Again, yeah. You were going See? Into a series not knowing and the order.
And I would have skipped past that first page where it says book fucking two.
Yeah.
And then I would have gone, Christ, Abby, this book was really difficult to get into.
Yeah, I read Once Upon a Broken Heart as well.
And what did you think of it? Was it good?
Harry's asking me because he already knows that I didn't like it a lot.
Say it out loud.
Yeah, admit it. Admit it on the pod.
Put it on the pod.
Put it on the internet. No, I didn't really like it.
Yeah.
It was also another one that's hyped by TikTok a lot. It's like a fairy tale style thing.
Yeah, it was the book cover that sold me on this
one. It's a very nice book cover, UK edition. Yeah, so hell. Good. Very, very cute.
And I shouldn't be sold by things like that, but I was.
That's their job.
Yeah. They did a really fucking good job with that one. The knights and the vines and just looked like a really cute fucking medieval story.
It is. I will admit, there is a character, his name's Jax, in that book. And I...
Would fuck him?
He's blonde, so maybe not.
Oh.
But yeah, probably, yeah. He's actually genuinely... What was that?
I'm just selling to the crowd.
Yeah.
Just, yeah, you know, like...
Oh... But, yeah, I would. Character. But, I thought that it was one of the only times I've read a character you're supposed to, I think he becomes her love interest later in the novels.
Okay.
But he's the antagonistic character, and I actually think he's a dick.
Oh, I read the
whole thing, and this Reason, you kind of go, okay, he's going to turn soft for her. This guy's just a dick.
Oh, okay.
Every time he does something in the book, I'm like, what a dick.
And you're supposed to be like, oh, but maybe it's because, and you're like, no.
No, he's actually terrible.
Unforgivable.
He's not a good guy. Like, you think he's about to redeem himself, then you go, wow, he just did the most dicky thing he's done yet.
Yeah, it's getting worse.
It gets worse.
That's interesting. I'm keen to read it.
It's very interesting. It looks like a short read. Yeah, I would love to know.
230-something pages.
Yeah, it's a short read, and it's written in a way that you could read it quickly.
Barely a book.
Barely a me.
Barely. My book when I finished it at 60,000 was 188 pages.
Just on Word? Did you make it A5?
No, I've only made it A4.
That's more book.
Can't wait to put it on A5.
Yeah, then you'll know
how many. Double.
Yeah, then you'll know how many pages you've written.
Bang.
Anyway. Yeah.
This is our second episode that we filmed today.
You can tell.
So they always get fucking unhinged.
Yeah. I really think you can tell when we've been talking for way too long together in a room because the episodes get weirder.
And your ears get a little bit warm from the headset. And you're like,
It's not my first thought. But yeah they do, I guess. Ow, my cheeks are so sore from laughing.
From laughing? Oh.
No, because I'm fucking hilarious, not because you're funny.
Oh.
Yeah. No.
I'll do it again.
To our listeners, Harry's pointing at the camera and indicating me. Anything else that you want to read?
No, I think those three. I'm adding the One Dark Window or whatever that was.
Oh, yes, you should definitely
read
that.
I'm going to add that one as well.
I will read it. I'm saying that, but I've heard it's very good.
Interesting.
Yeah, yeah.
And then we'll add our book club one on top of those ones. So that's five books that I would like to read.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
Which is not too bad. I know I've got a couple that should be coming in the post, I think. I'm just going to have a little check about one that I added to my thing the other day, my cart the other day. One was actually a book called Find the Blessing in the Bullshit, which is by a guy that I know from Melbourne that runs like a bunch of large queer events called Dean Murphy.
Right.
He actually wrote and self-published the book himself. Mm-hmm. And I have heard some things about it. I am interested to see how it goes. I doubt Dean is listening to this, but I find Dean is a lovely, lovely guy. And we've always had lovely conversations whenever we talk to each other.
Yeah.
Whenever I'm over in Melbourne. So keen to buy his book, actually, and just see what it's about. Because I think it's about his life as a queer person and what it was like when he came out when he was younger and kind of the journey that he went through. So it's a bit more autobiographical.
Yeah, like an autobiography.
Yeah, but he full self-published and he is not really an author, like not really a trained author, should I say. He didn't go and study
For writing or anything. He's just wants to write.
But the book's quite good. It's on Spotify for like podcasting and all sorts. But yeah, I'd like to buy that book. And just have a little look about what that kind of experience is like, because it's very first-hand gay living experience from a person that's been in the scene and is quite well known in the scene over in Melbourne, which for those people that know is fucking huge, the scene over there. So I'm interested to see what kind of stories there are that are in there and see if he talks about any of the stereotypes he's gotten, which I know will feed my research for when
It'd be really interesting. Yeah. It'd be a super interesting read.
I do my theory. Yeah. So that's a little bit more of an academic one, which I would like to talk about once I've finished it.
Yeah.
But that's in my cart at the moment to purchase. Mm. Apart from that, I think five books is
that's
pretty... That's a fucking lot. That's a lot for me.
That is a lot. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Considering you read like three since the last book.
Sweating. Yeah. Help, Abby.
Yeah.
Give me some spark notes. But yeah.
Cool. Well, I think we can end the episode there. I think we've chatted about books for maybe 25% of that.
Yeah, roughly.
Yeah.
I think we've been doing a lot of good reading, though, which is good.
Yeah.
Like, we're staying on top of it. And now I know that you're going to start going into the big reading, writing.
Yeah, time. I will not. I don't think I'll be reading nearly as much, which I think is why I'm on fan fiction, because it feels like less committal.
That's fair. It's more enjoyable as well.
There is a fan fiction I want to read, actually, called The Depth of Time.
The Depth of Time.
Depth, as in I have a debt. Oh, a debt. Is that how you say that word?
A debt.
Oh, God.
D-E-B-T.
Yeah. Debt. Oh, God. And I'm going debt.
Is that how you say that word? Oh, God. Debt.
Debt.
Depth, I know. A depth of time? A dip?
I know the word depth. Debt. Fuck. I know the word debt. But in my head, I'm seeing the way it's spelt, which is D-E-B-T. And so I'm saying debt.
That was so funny. Your face when you realize.
This is equivalent to, I used to say subtle.
Instead of subtle,
because I'd only ever read it in books, which is spelt with a B. Why do they keep putting B's in words? I don't do this? Well with B's in the middle of words that are silent, evidently.
Evidently.
Oh.
Oh, my God. My... Oh, no, that's not even where I was going with this.
Sorry.
My God, subtle. I used to think that the acronym, that STFU, that we use in, like, text messages.
Oh, shut the fuck up.
Meant stuff you. And I thought that it meant that for years.
You're like,
until I wrote it.
I mean, at least they have the similar connotations.
Roughly, but one's a lot more polite.
Yeah, okay.
You know, like one's a little bit more jokingly.
Have you been telling people to shut the fuck up all this time?
Yes.
Oh.
But also, I realized that when I was at a trivia night with a bunch of friends.
Yeah.
And I wrote it on a piece of paper to be like, stuff you, after they made a joke to me. But I wrote, shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
I wrote STFU, and she went across the table at me, and I was like, stuff you. And then she goes, you just told me to shut the fuck up. And I was like,
no. Oh, no, yeah, yes, I did.
Genuinely like, wow, okay, maybe he actually did not find that joke very funny.
Oh.
But I was like, no, stuff you.
You know? Yeah,
oh, my God.
Okay.
I really thought I was so hip as well. And for all these conversations that we've been doing where people have been saying STFU, I've been thinking a bit childish. Like
to say stuff you.
Stuff you.
No. Yeah.
But you understand how,
like,
I got that.
That's why
wrong,
people
right?
go, oh my gosh, shut the fuck up. Like, yeah. Oh, and you've been thinking they're going, oh my God, stuff you.
Yeah. It was a bit embarrassing.
Yeah, I think because I read words, I read them in my head phonetically. Yeah. And
why isn't everything spelt phonetically?
I don't know.
You know, why isn't seal, for instance,
depth
of time? Isn't that how you say that? Depth?
I said it. Well, I knew instantly when I said it out loud that's not how you said it. Like, but I couldn't in my head figure out how you actually
conjoin them.
I was like, you know, when you have a debt?
A debt?
No, it's like called the debt of time.
The debt of time.
And it's a Hermione goes back in time and saves Sirius. I think.
Like
I could
turner?
Be wrong. Yeah.
Time Turner?
Yeah. It's a Harry Potter fan fiction with Hermione and Sirius.
Interesting. Yeah. I was going to say, which is now a bit off topic because we've strayed.
That's fine.
Why isn't seal, as in the animal seal, like in the ocean, just S-E-E-L? Okay.
I don't agree with you on that one. Seal makes sense.
E-A. E-A-L.
Yeah. Like when you... Like when you, oh my God, it's been too long. We have been in here for 3.5 hours. No, when you seal something, like you seal it shut.
Yeah.
You want that to also be S-E-E-L?
No,
or that one feels like an E-A
to
that
you. One feels
but
like
seal
an E-A.
As in the animal as feels like an animal. Eel.
Yeah. Feels like an eel. Seal.
Like an eel noise, yeah. Not an eel.
Not an E-L.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's funny because my mum says I say penguin wrong.
How do you say penguin?
Penguin.
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 Oh, you say penguin?
Penguin is how it should be said. Penguin. But I say penguin.
I'm not seeing a difference.
you're just repeating you're penguin just over and over again.
Penguin.
Penguin.
Is it supposed to be penguin?
It's supposed to be penguin. And I say I say
what is the difference?
It's in the first syllable, Harry.
No, you're going, it's supposed to be penguin, not penguin. And I'm like, penguin.
I'm going to
penguin. Penguin.
Penguin.
Penguin.
It's supposed to be penguin.
Penguin.
And I say penguin.
Yeah, you do say penguin. Now I'm hearing it. Now I'm hearing it.
Yeah, you see, what, so now okay. It's I say penguin.
Penguin.
It's supposed to be penguin. This is a joy, a treat for our listeners, I'm sure.
Because they're siding with me.
Yeah, it sounds the same. No.
That's interesting.
Anyway, my mother has always
medicine.
Called... You say what?
I say medicine instead of medicine. Because mum says medicine because she's a Kiwi.
Oh,
and I
medicine.
Always get it confused because I do say medicine, but then sometimes I'll go medicine. And I go, fucking hell, it's just because that's how she says it. And I just, I don't know, it pops into my head sometimes.
Yeah.
And I say dance instead of dance. And that pisses a lot of people off.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you say dance?
I say dance.
Yeah. I say
I'm
going to
go for a dance.
Yeah.
Going to go for a dance.
Can we dance?
See, that sounds pont.
Yeah, it does. It does as well.
Is ponce the right
especially
word?
Especially when you're... Yeah.
I question everything I say now.
Posh,
yeah.
Yeah, but a ponce, I think, is like a...
Yeah,
you can call me a ponce.
Go for a dance.
Yeah, but dance just sounds stupid. But I think when I've had drinks or something, or if I'm in a more casual setting, I'll probably say dance.
Yeah. I used to have people, a friend from a different state when I lived up in the Western state, and I think she was from Canberra.
Yeah.
And she used to say Doona.
Yeah, that's from the UK.
Yeah, I don't say Doona, I say quilt.
My sister-in-law says Doona, or she says duvet.
Oh, no, I say quilt. It's like Fritz.
She says
we have Fritz, well. And they call it Polony.
No,
in Western Australia.
No, they don't. They're not allowed to.
Yeah. We call it Fritz.
Can
they call it
separate
Polony.
Already? Can they just split from us? They sound some weird shit.
Yeah.
Polony.
Polony.
That sounds like a breed of dog.
It sounds like a breed of horse, like a horse crossed, like a pony crossed with a.
That's better.
Than dog.
That's a good one. A Polony.
Polony.
Yeah. Look at my Polony.
Yeah. Do you know what I mean? It does not sound like a cut of meat.
No, it does
like
not.
Like a mashed together
and
cut of meat.
And if it does, it sounds like a weird meat.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's like saying I want Smiley Fritz and they have Smiley Polony. Yeah.
Would you like Smiley Polony? Sounds like My Little Pony.
Well, they don't have Metwurst over there.
What?
My brother can't get Metwurst over there.
Can he get
he
salami?
He loves Metwurst. Yeah, they just don't do Metwurst.
But Metwurst and salami are very similar.
Yeah, well, they don't do yo-yos. Western Australia.
The biscuit?
Yeah, they don't have yo-yos in Western Australia. They do not have yo-yos. Every time my brother comes home, he goes back to Western Australia and in his suitcase he will have packets of yo-yos, bung fritz, and Metwurst.
What backwards?
I don't know.
Where old is this?
I don't know. I feel like West Australia isn't Australian at all, really.
That is
very
bizarre.
They don't have yo-yos.
They don't have yo-yos.
What are they dipping in their tea?
Well, yeah. Maybe shortbread.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Mm. We should probably wrap this up. I'm so sorry.
Yeah, I'm so sorry for running through how we pronounce words and random stories about us and our friends, family, and anything else that popped into our fucking heads.
Look, the last 10 minutes, if you didn't want to listen, it's fine because you'd already listened
it's
to 50 minutes of books.
It's all good if you've turned off. Yeah. And if you stayed through the last 10 minutes, we love you and I hope that you love us.
Yeah.
Yeah. We'll see you next week for another episode of The Whiny Writers. Thank you so much for listening again.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.